Huh?
When I logged into Skype this week, I saw that on the account that I last spoke to you on, like today you're logging into a different account.
Yeah, because I'm at the studio.
Oh, okay.
I forget which one. Sometimes there's like a permissions error that I get, so I have trouble logging in.
Hmm. I see. Anyway, no, but from the account that you talked to me last year, asked me if I knew anything about places that do custom graphics on guitars, and my answer is no, off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find a place.
I mean, I'm trying to think like the easiest way to do it. I guess you could print it out and do it like, what do they call it, decoupage?
Yeah, I don't want to mess up a guitar.
Like, essentially glue it down and then clear coat over top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's a Strat?
Yeah, it's my little Squire Strat.
Okay, well, there's another option then, I don't know if it would work. They sell clear pickguards, and you could print it out and cut it to the shape of the pickguard and put it under the pickguard.
Hmm.
And they sell them for, you know, all the standard models, you know, Strats and stuff like that.
A lot of those Strats, and I think this included, have all the electronics wired to the pickguard and stuff, though.
Yeah, you just have to, you'd have to unbolt and unscrew things and screw
but
in the new pickguard.
You'd see all that, is what I'm saying, wouldn't you?
No, because it's, the pickguard's going to have the picture blocking it, you know?
Mm.
Like, put it however you want, but you'd make the full size of the graphic, like the size, overall size of the pickguard. And then if for some reason the graphic doesn't take up all of that, you could just fill it black or something, whatever color you want. But either way, it would be like a solid material, and then all the stuff would go under that and get bolted into the pickguard.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, I've seen people do that with those clear pickguards with, like, album covers that they like a lot or whatever, and cut those to shape and put them under the pickguard.
Yeah.
So.
It's strange that there aren't more people that do custom graphics on their guitar.
I mean, I'm sure there are, but I don't know. I mean, you'd probably want to go local, right? Because you don't want to have to go shipping off a guitar to have something done, do you?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
If you do go that route, I recommend destringing it and taking the neck off and just shipping the body.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Because otherwise, you know, LA makes the box bigger with the neck on it. But I mean, I've bought guitars from people before, like from eBay or Reverb or whatever, where they've taken the neck off and shipped it like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to week 778 of the Crankcast. Unfortunately, we missed our 777 week, but we missed it for a sad reason.
Yeah.
And, 777. Hopefully Mo went to heaven.
I don't see how he couldn't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like he had a mean bone in his body, you know?
I mean, Mo's had the roughest life. I mean, even though he had it good with us, he had a hard time. And everybody I know that met him really liked him. And it's so funny because Julie hated him so much.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that little guy. And it's because he was sweet. All he wanted was to be petted. Even Ninja had, an attitude. But Mo never wanted anything except, you know, you. And it's kind of hard to not like that in a dog.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it, and Burnham even mentioned it. He's like, I really like that dog. It's like really weird.
I felt bad. I never got him a pork pie hat.
He wouldn't have recognized what it was, and he wouldn't have wanted it. He really hated it wearing clothes.
Yeah, I mean, him wearing that hat was more for me than for him.
Well, that's the thing about dog clothes. It's always for you. It's not for them.
Yeah.
I don't know any dog, except for maybe like a hairless dog, that appreciates having clothes on.
I hear the Thunder Vest is a popular item.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to comfort them.
Yeah.
But I found that I think it stresses my dogs more when they wore a little confining thing. But, I mean, as they got older, things like Thunder or fireworks, they didn't even notice. So.
Some cousins of mine had a couple dogs that were real skittish, and they had gotten them those vests. They said they seemed to help them.
Yeah.
And they were older dogs, too, but they were those kind of dogs that are kind of excitable, anyway. I don't remember what breed they were exactly, but I just remember them being pretty peppy.
Yeah, I'm getting over it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's got to be strange not having any dogs in the house.
It's weird and terrible, but I also don't want anything to replace them.
Right.
You know, I don't want another dog. And, it is weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I'm getting used to it.
It's like my parents are serial dog owners, I guess you'd say. Like every time one passes, they pretty quickly get another one. But I don't know what they would do in an empty house. Probably get into fights with each other, I'd imagine.
Julie sounds like she might get a cat next.
Oh, yeah. Been a while.
Yeah, she's always liked cats, and I don't care, but I'm not really into having a pet. I'm sure I'll come around, but...
Yeah. You should talk her into getting one of those Maine Coon cats.
I would love something weird, but... She's not really into weird, except I'm probably the weirdest thing.
Well, you would definitely feel her weird quota then. Quotient?
Yeah.
Quota. That's the word I'm looking for.
Quota.
Everybody
was real nice on the internet, though.
That's good.
Proving once again that people like my dogs more than they like me.
Well. Different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, before I forget. Okay, so I think I've sussed out the audio recording problems.
Yeah?
I did some tests. Like, I ran audio out, like, while I was watching stuff and working. So I like, had it running full bore while I was lettering and watching movies and stuff like that, and I wasn't getting any glitches that way. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. If it doesn't work this week, I'm just going to have to switch to recording us on a different computer than my work computer until I figure it out.
Did it mess up last week, too?
Yeah, last show it did, even though I started it over.
Weird.
In fact, it was weird because it... Like, I broke it in the middle, and then at first, when I first restarted the recording, it was okay for like a minute or two, and then it very quickly got choppy again.
I'm having some real issues with the Manga Studio on this computer.
Like what?
Some severe lag with the brush. It's making it almost impossible to use.
You haven't worked on the computer very much, right?
Not in a while. It started acting up right before everything started going. Actually, no. It was fine, but then I came in early over the break, like in April. The break. Early over the quarantine. And it was fucking up, and I was like, did somebody get on my computer? And everybody said they didn't, so. But now, yeah, it's doing that.
Had you left it on?
I had, but I turned it off.
I was just wondering if it was, like, updates or something, like, while you were gone, if it updated itself.
I do think it's a memory problem. There's something up with this computer, because I checked it out, and it's, like, only has, like, 89 gigs of space left on a terabyte drive.
Oh, that's Yeah.
That doesn't sound right. I don't have that much shit.
That is pretty weird.
I don't know how to troubleshoot that. So I'm not going to go around willy-nilly deleting shit. That's shit Julie does.
Time to call the Emmons.
You know what? I don't want to do that. It's a, I hate, like, calling you or Emmons when something's wrong. You know?
I understand. Yeah. That'd be like if I called you every time I wanted something wrong.
It's annoying, right? It's just like, I would get annoyed. He's real patient about it, but he has to get annoyed by it.
He probably does if it gets excessive or if he's got other shit to do. You know? And I imagine he's probably quite often got other shit to do. So are you the only one there?
I am today. Sean's been in quite a bit while I've been gone. He goes through these phases of, like, revamping the website and doing the videos, but then he'll go for, like, weeks without doing it, so I don't know what his deal is with that.
It's funny, at the start of the quarantine thing, I had made out a whole big list of stuff I needed to do, because at the time it looked like my work was going to be slowing down a lot and stuff. And I figured, well, you know, might as well make the best of it and take care of a bunch of crap around the house and things I've been putting off doing in the real world because I've been changing my computer and stuff. And I think maybe I did, you know, I mean, when I say a list, it's like 3 pages of stuff, you know. And it's, I think maybe I did 4 of them, 5 of them. There's like just a shit ton of stuff I never got around to. And I'm like, I don't even know exactly where the time went.
Well, it's still there.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying that, you know.
I'm almost done with this issue. I've got, after this page, I'll have 3 pages left.
Oh, good.
And that's the last of my paying work so far this year.
Not so good.
So, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I might just take a break and become a house husband.
I don't know, as long as Julie can keep you in the lifestyle you're accustomed to.
I don't know.
Maybe it's time to work on that movie.
What movie?
Not making a joke, because you always say you never want to make a movie. But
I never want to make a movie. Ever.
After a few of the movies I've seen recently, I honestly, I still think we could, though.
Oh, I know we could. I'm positive we could. That's never been an issue. It just sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah, probably.
You know me, the reason why I like making comics is because it's immediate. Like, I finish a page and I'm done.
Yeah.
I don't have to stand around all day and wait for other people to get mic levels right and shit like that. And
well, you know, I mean, considering the movies you watch, they probably don't spend a lot of time getting the mic levels right anyway.
But even with those, there's probably a lot more work going into them than I'm willing to put.
Yeah.
Unless they're making them on their iPhone. In 24 hours, I'm probably not interested.
I finally saw Roller Gator.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm real sorry. That's a hard thing to sit through.
I watched the Riff Track version.
Even that, it's like the hardest Riff Tracks to watch.
No, I mean, Man from Harlem, or Guy from Harlem, whatever.
I like Guy from Harlem.
That was hard to watch, man. I actually...
Well done.
Say what?
He likes his steaks well done.
I actually didn't think. I mean, it's terrible. It's not a good movie. Like, anything I say is not saying that it's a good movie.
And it will be used against you.
Yeah, probably. But it's it was sort of entertaining in a weird way. It was a nice little mid-90s time capsule of a movie. But yeah, it was dumb. It was really dumb. I also watched the David DiCato classic, A Talking Cat?
DiCato.
DiCato, sorry.
Did he direct it as David DiCato or as Mary What's-Her-Face?
It's listed as David DiCato.
He's got a lot of pseudonyms he uses.
Yeah, that dude, I mean, he puts out a ton of shit. He's the one that did all those real softcore gay things, right?
He started out making gay porn.
Like, he does all those 1313 movies and stuff
like that. Yeah, he makes a lot of... They're genre movies. They're not horror. They're horror sci-fi-ish, but every movie he makes has a very unsubtle homosexual undertone to it.
Yeah.
I mean, every man will be shirtless in a David Dakota David Dakota movie, and they'll all be rubbing their stomachs at one point.
I'm trying to think. It's probably so just...
The Killer Eye is one that's like way like the Killer Eye and 1313 Bigfoot.
There's like 20 of those 1313 movies.
Yeah, there's a reason why he did them. Like the reason they're not called 1313 for any other reason than to get at the beginning of the catalog, like in previews
You're
distributing catalog.
I guess it's probably actually too strong to call them softcore. They're not even really porn. They're
no his regular movies aren't porn.
They're just
he's a Roger Corman acolyte.
That makes sense.
So, that's why he. Is the way he is.
I'm trying to remember the house that they used in The Talking Cat.
It's from several porn movies.
Well, I recognized it from another. It might have been another movie he directed. But
oh yeah, he used it in Santa's Summer Home.
Was that it? Was that the one about the kid that gets sent to help the family out?
No. Oh yeah, it's used in that too. That's
Because I totally recognize that car chair, that back end of a bug car chair.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
He uses that same house for a lot of movies.
And I couldn't remember the name of the movie, the other movie.
The reason you can tell, I mean, the house can be, I mean, it's pretty distinct, the inside, but he still uses the same furniture, like that shoe chair.
Right, yeah, yeah, because that's what I picked up
movies. Yeah, he uses the same furniture.
It's like... Well, it's probably just some like a buddy's house or his house or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, I would be surprised if, like, in L.A. they have, like, houses that you could just rent out for movies.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, too. But, you know, that was a cute enough movie, even with the weird Eric Roberts delivery.
Oh, shut up. Shut up with cute enough movie.
Oh, it was. It was cute enough.
It wasn't cute enough. It was terrible.
Well, I didn't say it was good.
But he seriously just went over to Eric Roberts' house and recorded him in his living room to do all of his lines.
Yeah, it sounded like it, pretty much.
So it's just Eric Roberts, probably drunk off his ass.
Because
he sounds like he's drunk in that.
I can only talk to people once.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that sounds like something Eric Roberts made up while he was doing the dialogue, and they're like, oh, well, we'll just make this part of the movie.
Yeah. Why not? But, yeah. Anyway. I watched a really strange horror movie with, what's her name? She was in the, Bunheads and the show about her being... Younger, I guess it's called.
Oh, there's a horror movie with her? I'd like to see that.
What's her name? It's,
I forget her name. Isn't it like a guy's name?
It's, I'm trying to find it. Oh, it's Sutton Foster. Yeah.
Sutton Foster.
It's called Gravy.
Sounds like an old, like, Confederate war veteran, Sutton Foster.
Yeah, it does, actually. Or a bank president. But, it's got, the one guy, okay, you remember from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there were the weird brothers?
Mm-hmm.
It's got the one weird brother in it.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
And,
I should know his name by now, because he's in a lot of good things. He's actually a pretty good actor.
And it's got Michael Weston, but Michael Weston is playing a very strangely, the other guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie Day? He's playing, yeah. Like, he comes off real Charlie Day in this movie. but it's, the basic plot is just these people that work at this, Mexican restaurant, cantina kind of thing. these cannibal brothers, like, board the place up, weld the door shut or whatever from the inside and trap them all in there. And then start torturing them and having them cooked for dinner and stuff.
That's weird.
But it's a comedy. So, it was strange. It was very odd. And, yeah, I'd never seen her in a horror movie before. I guess she was in another one now. Now I'm looking at it. She's in another horror movie called Mired, where people come back from the dead. Probably some sort of comedy, too, though. But yeah, that was strange. Oh, and then we talked about this already, but I saw Witch Trap.
I love Witch Trap.
It's one of those odd movies where it winds up being a lot of fun when you don't expect it to be.
I thought it was going to be terrible, and because of the performance of the main detective alone,
yeah,
I was watching it, and I was like, is this dialogue written by Kevin Smith? Because that's how he acted like somebody in Clerk, where you have that delivery style where it's so obvious that you know what the other person is going to say that you just rattle it off right after they said it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a psychic performance.
I think that's James Quinn.
I don't know, but he was really good.
I looked him up. He hasn't been in a whole lot. But,
and also he's like this, like, don't play by the rules cop in a movie that doesn't require a don't play by the rules cop.
Yeah.
It's not like Lethal Weapon. He's just doing like an investigation in a haunted house, right?
They're not even supposed to be investigating. They're just supposed to be protecting their security company. You know, he works for a security company.
And it's just like, why is he like this?
Because it comes off as very, well, it is a late 80s movie, but it comes off like one of those 80s, like, yeah, rogue cop or whatever.
I super recommend Witch Trap. I love that movie.
And I tell you, by the time I got to the end of it, I just wanted to see more of that guy going around investigating more.
Yeah,
houses.
I know. Like a sequel with him?
Or, yeah, shit, a series, dude. Like, just him being a smartass running around, like, busting ghosts. Which, they do make a Ghostbuster joke in that movie. But, yeah, that was just, it was one of those things where, like, normally when in a really bad movie, which or a low budget movie or whatever you want to call it, they when you got actors that deliver lines pretty stilted and you write them comedy to say, the comedy comes off really terrible.
Right.
And I mean, you could tell this dialogue is intentionally supposed to be funny, and yet it was just like alchemy or something. For some reason, it came off and it was actually funny. It's bizarre, man.
Yeah, because other than that, it's just kind of a by-the-numbers shitty horror movie. Because, I mean, that movie, you've seen that movie a million times before.
Yeah, and the rest of the actors weren't that great at it. Like,
yeah.
It was really him that made the movie, the cop dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just a strange...
It's a pretty bland, you know, haunted house movie.
Yeah, and they killed off Linnea quickly, really fast.
Yeah, she wasn't there very long.
You only got, like, maybe a minute of her boobs, and then she was gone.
I don't like Linnea Quigley boob scenes.
That's pretty much every movie she's in.
I know, but... she's not always... Like, Return of the Living Dead's the one that she's famous for always being nude in, but she's not always... She does some pretty... I like her acting.
No, I'm not saying she's a bad actress or anything. I'm just saying that...
I don't think she's a great actress, but I like her acting more than I like seeing her boobs, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I think probably up to a certain age, she was probably the woman whose boobs I'd ever seen the most. Like, because she wasn't a lot.
You know what I mean?
Oh, lost you for a second there. Lost you for a second there.
Yeah.
I missed everything from... When you stopped talking to, when you said, know what I mean.
I've said I don't like her boobs because they're very strange and fake looking, and I don't like that.
Okay.
They look like weird little bubbles on her chest, and I don't, it's creepy.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
And if you've ever seen like, What is that movie with Linda Blair?
Exorcist?
Savage Street.
Oh, Savage Street.
No, Savage Street, where she plays her sister, and it's pre-boob job, and it's so messed up. It's so creepy.
That's the one that's all predicated on a, like, pretty terrible rape scene, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't think I've sat through that yet.
You won't want to, so don't.
I had it in my queue, but I kept putting off watching it because I didn't think I'd like it. Because of that.
Yeah. You won't. Nothing in the movie makes up for that.
Yeah. But, anyway, though, yeah, I recommend Witchtrap, too. It's definitely worth watching.
Witchtrap. That trap.
Who? Trap. Yeah, I mean, I halfway thought about just ripping the character off. Well, I guess basically he's Constantine, sort of, if you turn him into a...
No, Constantine's smarter than that guy.
That's true.
That guy's not smart. He's just a smart ass.
Okay, maybe he's more like the detective guy from Lord of Illusions.
Yeah, maybe.
Although he was smarter than that, too. So, yeah, it could be a different thing than a supernatural. But, I mean, you know, we've seen supernatural detective stories a lot in the past decade or so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, still. Fun stuff. Anyway. I tried to watch this movie called Punks from the late 90s.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And this is going to sound weird when I say this. I mean, it's a kid's movie, and I went to watch it because it looked like it'd be, like, kind of a fun superhero kid's movie or something. And it had Henry Winkler in it, and, you know, a goofy Randy Quaid, and an early Jessica Alba. Like, and I thought, okay, you know, this might be cool. But then I'm watching it, and I'm like, you know how do you have certain actors where you don't like seeing them in certain roles?
Yeah, yeah. I think probably more when I was a kid, but...
Because, like, you know, I mean, not that he does a bad job at it, but I don't like seeing sad Bill Murray, you know? Or, like,
Well, that's too bad, because that's most of the shit he plays now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he's good at it. It's just, it makes me sad when I see sad Bill Murray, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so Henry Winkler in this is a bad guy, and he's, like, actually pointing guns at people and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't want to see Henry Winkler as a shitty dude. Like, yeah. You know, I like Henry Winkler. So, I got so far into it, and I was just like, I don't like this, so I stopped watching it. So I don't know if it's actually any good or not. It seemed pretty fun up to the point where I stopped. But, yeah. And, I'm trying to think, like, there's, I don't know, I'm sure there's other people like that. It's like, I don't know. I can't think of any examples now. Oh, never mind.
I think I'm giving you enough room for letters on this panel.
Well, that's good.
I think.
Probably not. Rafer writes a lot. Thanks. Yeah, he gets kind of wordy. I watched a Richard Pryor movie I hadn't seen before.
Really? Which one?
Some Kind of Hero. I remember being out, but I never saw it.
Oh. Yeah, I haven't seen that. Well, I might have seen it. I don't know.
The thing is it's billed as a comedy, and it's really not.
Yeah.
It's like a drama, like kind of depressing drama. Works out in the end, but it's still kind of a depressing drama. About a POW who spent like 6 years in a camp and then came back home, and basically his life's fucked.
Yeah.
So he turns to crime. And there's a couple of, scenes that are sort of funny. But by and large, it's like... Plus, it's got Margot Kidder as a high-class hooker. And it's, which is just kind of weird, you know. I mean, because I think of her as Lois Lane. Like, but that led me to watch the original Brewster's Millions, which I never realized that Brewster's Millions was a remake.
I did know that, but I've never seen it.
Yeah,
Who made that movie? Who's in that?
The original?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a 1945 movie, so it's Dennis O'Keefe, Helen Walker, June Haddock.
Yeah, I don't know any of those people.
Yeah. I didn't really either. Dennis O'Keefe I kind of recognize. And Helen Walker looks familiar, but I can't tell you why. I mean, she looks like one of those mid-40s actresses. But, I don't know, I mean, and so I wound up watching that, because it's only a little over an hour long. But it's weird, because this guy, like, for 1945, the guy's got to spend $1 million. I'm like, is that even possible in 1945?
Yeah.
Considered? I mean, wasn't a weekly wage, like, $10 or something like that?
Right.
And overall, and I haven't seen the Richard Pryor, John Candy one in a long time, but I remember really liking that one.
So, I remember feeling stressed out by it.
Really?
And not having, yeah, not having felt that in a movie before. And I mean, we were children when that came out.
Yeah. I mean, that was.
I remember feeling stressed out by that movie.
That's strange.
Because he had to get rid of that money.
Right.
And I was like, how did you do that? I'm stressed out.
And Mike never quite recovered.
Well, I mean, especially as a child, I keep telling Julie that her nephews, there's one nephew in particular who, as a child, he is very, what my mother called high strung when I was a kid.
Sure.
And like every little thing sets him off. And I remember being like that. And I was like, he reminds me of myself. And I was like, man, I think I hate myself from when I was a kid. That kid drives me crazy.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I can sort of relate. I was one of those kids that would get angry and get in fights real easy.
Well, I didn't get in fights. I would just, like, cry. I would get so stressed out that I'd cry, you know?
Yeah, I had red rages.
Yeah.
And then I realized that I needed to be something different, and I started mellowing out.
Everything was so unfair, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Why me?
So I would get very
frustrated at your lack of agency.
And, I mean, that hasn't really changed much. I don't cry as much, except for this past couple of weeks, this past month.
Yeah. Well, I'll make you cry.
All right, I have 3 pages left of this issue now.
Well, good. I still have about 15 pages to go on the thing I'm working on now. Before just throwing out page count numbers here. Oh, shoot. And looking at my email, I also have a bunch of revisions to do on a graphic novel I turned in. There's my Friday. It's gone.
No.
So
I don't like that.
We need to start the What's Mike Gonna Do Next project.
Well, I mean, I have lots of things to work on. I don't know if I want to work on it. I need to find something that pays.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
So I'd like to draw something that, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind a call from Marvel or something. I don't know.
Do you ever, well, I mean, you haven't done any, like, commercial art type work in a long time, have you?
No. I've intentionally given any that have come my way to other people.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you, like, still had any ins on that or anything.
No, I think I've sort of burned some bridges, actually.
That can happen.
Yeah. There's one that I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I was like, no, these guys are going to be assholes about it. I'm not going to do it. So I gave it to somebody else. And they got very mad about that, I think.
Huh. Yeah. Sucks that, I mean, you know, in a normal year, if you had, like, downtime on paid work, you at least maybe have conventions to go to where you could, like,
no,
sell
I
art or something.
I mean, the not doing anything, I'm happy about. Not doing anything and not being paid for it, I'm having a problem with.
Well, yeah, I mean, unemployment's always a good gig if you can afford it.
This is the first time, I think, since I started working full-time freelance in 2004, where not having work hasn't terrified me to the point of just alienating everyone around me.
Huh.
And I actually kind of want to do nothing.
Well, you've tended to keep yourself, like, overextended for long periods of time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see where wanting so to just
I also, that also makes me think, because if everything goes the way that it has for the past, you know, how long is that? If everything goes the way that it has gone, that means the three pages I have left, once I'm on the last page, I'll get a call from somebody asking me to do something, and I'll be like, damn it. Because that's the way it usually goes. I've been incredibly lucky that way, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really, in 16 years, you haven't had much in the way of downtime, I don't think, that I can recall.
No,
You've had some slow periods. But...
Had slow periods, but I mean, my heavy periods didn't need to be that heavy periods. my heavy times didn't have to be as heavy as they were, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
no what reason for me to be doing as much as I was.
I think that's what I was getting at, is that your overextended periods were probably, like, greater than your downtime, kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I'm not terrified like I used to be, which is a good thing, but it's also a kind of, I feel like we've talked about this a million times. I just feel like I should want to do something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily there.
Hmm. Well, you could always try to, like, become a greeter at Walmart or something. You know?
That has been my dream job.
Well, yeah, as personable as you are, you know. As outgoing and friendly and as much as you like meeting new people.
You're an asshole.
Why?
I'll have plenty of time to practice my guitar, though.
Hey. That's always a good thing.
Which, I do feel like I've made progress now. I feel like I'm getting to a point where, not that I'm any good, that I feel like I'm comfortable learning stuff, whereas before I was like, I can't do anything.
Right. Can't do anything. Holy moly.
What?
I was just thinking about conventions. I'm just like, what if this goes in and we don't have a convention season next year either?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to destroy conventions. There won't be anybody that has enough money to put one on.
I mean, I guarantee you, you know, the ones that normally come in the first quarter probably aren't going to happen. Just because...
I wouldn't go to them.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We're coming into a winter, and winter's going to make the pandemic worse. At least,
yeah.
You know, I mean, bad as it is in America, it's probably going to get worse. Like... And that's going to kill the first quarter conventions in America.
I don't know. There could be a lot of mitigating circumstances that could make... I mean, I won't say that there will be widespread conventions, but there might be a few... Like, if there is a different president by that time and a vaccine, like a lot of people seem to think there will be by the end of the year, I feel like public... The public will probably be more inclined to do stuff like that.
Well, the problem with the vaccine is getting people to actually take it, though.
Even if there
is an effective one out there.
That is true, but you take away half of the reason why we're all scared and hiding, in that the people that need it the most will have access to it.
Well, That's true.
That they'll be safe. But who knows? Who knows?
I mean, I'm willing to believe that there will probably be a vaccine available by the end of the year. I just don't know that it's actually going to be an effective one because they're trying to push it out for emergency use and shit.
Right. I mean, that's always, yeah, that's always the possibility. That's definitely...
Oh, and...
No.
And the U.S. has pulled out of the world effort.
That's the new president part to be. That would be great if that would happen.
Yeah.
Is because I'm pretty sure that shit would be reversed.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that we'd be back in on the helping others and getting help from others front. You know what I mean?
I'd hope so.
Yeah, me too.
That's so weird. So much hinges on this election. So much important shit. I mean, this isn't just a normal thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, in the past I might grumble at the choice of president or something more, but I'm like, well, we'll get through it and move on, right? But, like,
right, yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, shit.
Not this. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, I don't want to come off sounding like dramatic or like I'm clutching pearls or something, you know. But I do really think a lot. We're at a make or break point where a lot of things are going to be irreparable.
Oh, it is
soon.
If yeah.
Just you know, a lot of things that make living in America kind of thing, you know. So I don't, you know, social efforts and things like that.
It's been hard to think about lately because of the stuff going on at home, but
yeah,
you're right.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, the only thing I can do is vote and hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
In my more pissed off moments, honestly, I've kind of thought, well, you know what? If Trump wins, that's it. I'm checking out. Like, I mean, not killing myself or anything. I mean, like, I'm not, the system doesn't work anymore, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would be in that same boat.
And, you know, I don't know what that means as far as my actions from that point on, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I've been struggling with, trying to figure out what that means.
Yeah.
What I have to do at that point.
Yeah, it's just strange times, dude. That's all. I don't. Every day it's something new and it's crazy and it's overloading and it's probably partly intentional.
Oh yeah, it is definitely intentional.
It's you know, it's that winning by attrition kind of thing, or winning by just exhaustion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like. No, it's weird. I honestly don't think a Biden-Harris administration is going to be like a cure-all for things.
No, it absolutely won't. That's how bad things are.
Yeah.
It's just like you're grasping for anything.
Because, to be honest, like, I'm not a fringe person, but Biden's way too center. Like, and for being a Democrat, he's awful conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And you know, I don't know. He wasn't my choice for president, but
no, he wasn't my choice.
I'll still take him. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Given the alternative, yeah.
This is a silly thing to talk about. It's. I don't know how it's even an issue with people.
Like, what, you know, are people doing like what they did before and still being mad about Bernie?
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's people that are mad. They're just like, well, not who I want. I'm like, all right. I guess you just... I don't know what you want.
Yeah, I don't... I don't know. I mean, chances are getting somebody that's too radical in the office, especially right now. I don't know. I don't know how, you know. But I was going to say, like, getting somebody too far left in just means that nothing's going to happen anyway, because it's going to, all the time's going to be spent arguing about whether or not something should happen. So, I don't know, maybe a moderate is the way to go, like, at least to repair the damage, and sort of try to steer things back on track. Yay.
Yo, Herb.
Politics. What fun.
I don't enjoy them.
I liked it better when I could ignore them.
Absolutely.
It's just really hard to ignore now, and I feel like it's this and, you know, that and the pandemic are all I'm talking about to people anymore. And I don't want it to be that way, because I'm not the political activist guy. Like, I just, I don't, you know, whatever. I guess it is what it is, right?
Yes.
And, I don't know. Anyway. So, wow. I don't even know. What's new? I wrote a funny boppy dance song on my Moog, my micro Moog.
Shut up.
I was able to dial in this really nice bwomp bass sound, like bwomp, 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 like that.
Stop talking to me.
Bwomp, bwomp, bwomp.
How dare you?
Bwomp, bwomp, bwomp.
How dare you talk about whatever this is that you're talking about?
Come on, man, you dig it? Bwomp,
bwomp, bwomp, bwomp. I do dig the wampum.
Yeah. It's got a groove. So that was fun. You know, I like to take a couple of minutes off every now and then from worrying about the world and worrying about my job and just do something fun.
This has some weird off-center panels, so don't complain to me.
Okay.
Page 14 has some weird panels, so don't bug me about it.
Are they as weird as Ryan Brown's W panels from Wizard?
No, I'm just saying they're off center a little bit.
Does it matter if they're off center?
I don't know. You get uptight about stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about off center. You're not in a like a, you know, straight six panel grid or something. I don't know what you're saying to me.
Super kill you. What were you saying about your stupid song?
Are you overlapping panels? Like, because that gets confusing sometimes.
Shut up.
I just worked on one book where I realized after the fact, given that I, you know, had the script in front of me, so I had descriptions of what was going on, and, you know, I was able to look at that with the art, not just the art and lettering by itself, it still took me a minute to figure this page out. I'm sitting there looking at it, and I got the idea, because the idea was that these people were breaking into this building, and the building was connected by a tunnel underneath to the building next to it, and it was really the next building over that they were trying to get to. So the way the artist laid it out, it was a two-page spread, and it starts off in where it normally would, up in the top left corner, but it goes, you know, down the page, and then across, and then up, instead of reading like, you know, it goes, the reading line's more like in a U-shape across the spread.
They are trying to be clever.
Yeah. And I get it, right? Because it shows them going down, and then across, and then up again. But it was really, I had to figure that out, even with the script, because the script didn't actually call for it to do that. The script was just laying out what was going on. So the artist made the choice to represent it this way. Independently.
It wasn't clever then?
Well, I mean, it worked. Eventually it worked. And I think I guided it well enough with the lettering so that it read in the U shape rather than the, you know, left, top left, bottom right, and then top left, bottom right again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was able to guide it, but man, that was a tough page to figure out. Because it was just, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you see it sometimes like that with, and sometimes it's easier to work. Like, I've had to do spreads that were laid out like Candyland pages, essentially. Where it keeps going back and forth and up and down, but, like, you've got a trail to follow, so your eye visually sees what's going on there and how to read it. And it's easier to pull off that way, I think, when you're doing something like that. But it's always risky, I think, to try to break the, you know, top left, bottom right pattern
it's
for American comics.
Always risky.
Because it.
I would actually lean on the side of never do it.
Well, sometimes it works.
Yeah, if you can, I mean, don't listen to me if you think you're better.
And it becomes it becomes an interesting page sometimes. But I've seen it not work a lot too, though. And the biggest risk is it just becomes hard to read. You're throwing a roadblock in the reader to the reader. Where they have
to read this.
Yeah, like if they have to stop and figure it out, then you just ruin the flow of the book right there. And that's what I worry about when I see stuff like that. I mean, I understand the need to try to break up the monotony of just doing grids all the time and crap like that. Because, you know, you figure, well, surely there's got to be a more interesting way for me to do this. Like, mm-hmm. And, I mean, you've seen people explore that, like Scott McCloud and his Infinite Canvas type idea and stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can pull that, if you can pull it off and still guide the eye to where it needs to go to make it make sense easily, then do it. I think it's probably the maximum I would go by.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if it in any way confuses the reader, then it's probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter how cool it looks, the reader is just going to remember that they had to figure it out instead. Like, instead of just enjoying it. But that was, I mean, it was interesting. It's kind of neat to see process like that when you're behind, like, you know, on the other side of the camera, so to speak. And you know, whatever. Did you vote for the Ringos?
I have not.
Deadline's coming up.
Uh-oh.
September something. I mean,
are we nominated for anything?
No.
Oh.
No.
I'm definitely not going to that.
Yeah. Not even a book I've worked on that was nominated for anything.
You sons of bitches.
As far as I remember. Anyway. I don't know. It's one of those weird things. It's like, I know in the past I've just straight up, like, made fun of them and I voted on, you know, on the show, kind of, essentially. I just blindly pick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I keep bouncing back and forth in my opinion of the stuff. Not that mm-hmm. I personally care about it, but, like, I understand other people do.
And it's like, oh, sure, yeah.
Like, when they actually win these awards, it means something to them, and, like, it's sort of like, you know, when somebody shows you a picture of their baby, you never say their baby's got too big a head or something.
Like, I think I just said that to Ryan Brown the other day.
Oh, my point is that, you know.
I said, that is a really cute giant head baby.
Well, at least you said cute, okay? You never call somebody's baby ugly when they
show
you a picture.
Well, he also asks for it, though, because he comes out and goes, hey, look at the greatest baby ever made. And then he just kind of dares you to say something.
You mean you take it on yourself to take him down a peg?
Yeah. It's like, look at the greatest baby. And I'm like, all right, I've seen better babies at a Toys R Us, but sure.
Dang, dude.
Just saying, don't bring that. Don't invite yourself up to... Invite yourself to a world of hurt.
Every daddy thinks his baby's the best baby ever.
Well, you shouldn't. Because it's objectively not true.
Well, then we need to run some sort of study to find the best baby ever.
Yeah, it's the Crankcast Find the Best Baby Ever Awards.
Yeah, like, at least if we found the best baby, the objectively best baby in the world...
how do we do that? How do we define the best baby?
Well, that's going to be part of the process, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're going to have to suss that out. But you know, if we can find the objectively best baby in the world, then we'll have a standard, and we can easily say, obviously, this is not the best baby in the world to anybody else, like. Kind of thing. Or if somebody, you know, if a new best baby's born, we can then say, well, this is the best baby in the world. But we have a measurement there. We have a bar to hop over or whatever. Right? That's where that comes from, right? So, we need to start the study. The best baby in the world.
That's a weird thing for us to be doing.
Well, I mean, is there anybody else more qualified?
You bring up a great point.
I mean, what qualifications are even needed to determine the best baby in the world?
We are the best to determine.
I mean,
if your baby is good enough.
Yeah. For one thing, neither one of us have babies, so we're not influenced by our own babies.
We're definitely objective about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, babies are babies, right? Like,
we have no skin in the game.
Exactly. So, I mean, we'll just make ourselves the arbiters of best babydom.
Yes, I like this idea. And we're going to tell you if your baby's the best, and it probably isn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, the chances of you having the best baby in the world, I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wish people would fucking understand. Your baby ain't that great.
Eh, your baby's meh.
Your baby's okay at the most.
Your baby's adequate. How about that?
Your baby is adequate.
Yes. This is a definitely adequate baby.
Your baby is sufficient. This is a sufficient baby.
It burbles. It eats. It poops.
It eats. Cries.
Cries. Goes to sleep.
Cries.
Smiles when it has gas.
Some of them don't do that, do they?
I don't know. I just always remember that being a thing. Like, is it smiling or does it just have gas?
I don't know if that's a thing you should judge a baby on.
Whether it has gas or not?
Well, whether or not it smiles if it does.
Why is that any less important than anything?
I don't know.
We gotta figure this out, man, because we gotta find the best baby.
Are there verbal skills involved?
Do babies verbalize?
I don't know.
They scream and cry.
Hey, there's already too much research we gotta do here. I don't like this.
Oh, okay. We could just be completely arbitrary about the things that make the best baby in the world.
That sounds more like us.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Well, its head can't be too big. That's something.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, seriously, why would you want a big-headed baby?
It might mean it's smarter.
Does it, though? Or does it just mean it got more skull?
Well, I'm sure it'll grow into it. It's like puppies in their paws.
You are sure of a lot of things.
Well, I'm trying to be. Jeez. Best baby in the world. I think the only way to win this game is not to play.
The best way to win is to not play.
So, yeah. Best baby ever. I think I was the best baby ever. At one time. I was superseded by other best babies, but... And of course, you know, once you're not a baby anymore, you can't be the best baby in the world.
You think that's gonna be an issue?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's always gotta be, like, another best baby, because...
What? Really?
You can't keep calling somebody the best baby in the world when they're 12.
Oh, I'm saying you think that babies that are no longer babies are gonna want to, like... still be a part of this?
Well, I mean...
Don't take the title from me?
It's probably going to be a great honor, I think. I'm not so sure about this one. But I would say that it's probably going to be a great honor to be named best baby in the world. Do we have
by us?
Well, sure.
I'm confused by what we're doing.
I'm
not sure what's happening here.
We're taking it upon ourselves to arbitrarily decide what the best baby in the world is.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm on board with that. But the part where people are happy about it, that's what I'm surprised about.
Oh, you think people will be upset that they're the best baby in the world? Would you be upset if you were named the best baby in the world?
No.
I mean, and frankly, we shouldn't really care.
I would be confused. I would be weirded out and confused.
I don't think we really need to care, because by the time anybody figures out they're the best baby in the world, then, you know, that's going to be years from now. the babies themselves right now aren't going to give a shit one way or the other. So, until we wrest the title from the, you know, the grasping fingers of the no longer baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. God, I hope somebody knows what I'm saying.
Do you know what you're saying?
Fuck, no. I've just been babbling for 15 minutes, dude. I was on a run. I thought I'd go with it. Say, do we have any email, like?
Say, we do not.
No.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, I am...
People let us down.
I am browsing through the... Whatchamacallit, the list of comics that are out this week. Yeah, is this a new studio? Have you heard of a publisher called Ablaze?
I have not.
They have a book out called The Sumerian People of the Black Circle. The Sumerian, okay, I guess. It's the main series, and this is People of the Black Circle. It's another Conan book. Like, that's weird. I thought Marvel did Conan books. Or no, who's doing Conan books now? IDW?
I think Marvel's still doing them, aren't they?
I don't know. I can't remember now. But, so I guess this is another Conan series from a publisher called Ablaze.
I think, is Conan,
except this
is in the public domain?
I wouldn't think so. Robert Howard? That was 30s, right? I thought for stuff to be in the public... I mean, unless it's lapsed or something. And also, I don't... I'm thinking there must be some sort of issue, or else they would call this a Conan book instead of calling it The Sumerian. Although, and this seems to be a straight... It says it's an uncensored version of the Robert E. Howard's Conan, so... I guess it's maybe adapting, like, straight from the novels instead of original work. I don't know. Strange. Either way. It's got a lot of covers, though. Like, 8 different covers.
I'd expect no less.
That's a lot of covers. Interesting. Now, do you remember... Sorry, I'm thinking back to our David DiCoto...
David
Dicato. Okay, I thought it was David Dicato. I was going to make a Dicato twins joke. But,
Dicato twins?
Dicato twins. Anyway, but thinking back and speaking of that, something, I was going to talk about this before, but we've, you know, had intermittent recording since, for the past month or whatever.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's not, I'm just saying I keep forgetting to talk about it. But I somehow... And I never really, I've never picked up on this very much, but apparently Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is a really gay movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they've recently made a documentary about the lead actor in that.
Yeah, I've wanted to watch it. I haven't got around to it. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
I haven't seen it either. I just started reading about it because it came up in Amazon. I saw the documentary in Amazon. I was reading about it, and I'm like, really? So I went back and I rewatched parts of it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess this is kind of gay. But, I never really picked up on it until somebody pointed it out to me.
Well, I definitely didn't do it, because I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah. It was just, that's one of those just things where it like came out of the blue for me. Like, oh, yeah, I guess this is gay. How strange is that? Anyway.
Sorry.
Oh, Devil's Due has a book out.
Really?
Something called Ark World.
Ark World?
ARK World. They're dubbing it an archaeopunk book. Archaeopunk. Something to do with deep state conspiracies.
Oh my god. I was just about to say... I bet he is so into all of that shit. Oh my god.
See, that's the thing about, like, to me, that's the realm where, like, conspiracy stuff belongs, as entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like conspiracy theory stuff as entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, it's just telling stories. It's like what we do anyway, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's just so weird when... Like, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, who is pretty knowledgeable on conspiracy theory stuff. Because he's been into it for a long time and kept up with it and that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he understands, like, I think, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, there's elements of truth in conspiracy theories a lot of times. It's distorted and twisted and turned around a lot of times, but there's something there if you keep digging in and cross-check facts and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that's part of what he likes about it, is defining the story elements from the, what is factual kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't just take it verbatim as being a real thing. Or verbatim? Yeah. As being a real thing. So it's you know, I could talk to him about it. We were talking about, like, QAnon and crap like that the other day, and just how kooky it is. And how it's, like, a lot of it's just rehashed older conspiracy theory stuff that used to be about Republicans, for that matter.
Yeah, it's tying it all together and making it super conspiracy.
Well, yeah, and it's flipping it, too, to where, like I said, it, you know, a lot of the stuff, it used to be about Republicans, and, like, Bush and stuff like that, and the secret school societies, like, you know, the Skull people and all that stuff. And so now they've twisted it now and made it all about Democrats and stuff like that instead, because it fits the bill for them. But, yeah, it was just weird that we, you know, because... Like I said, he's into this stuff, and even he's sitting there shaking his head, like, I don't understand why people are even into this. Like, how they can be taking it seriously, kind of thing. And, it's just bizarre, man. Oh, hey. I didn't letter this issue because I was in the middle of my month-long crunch, so somebody had to fill in for me. But, Dynamite Entertainment, Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys, Death of Nancy Drew, number 4, was in stores this week.
She dies! She dies in that issue.
She did. Oh, yeah, she did.
Oh.
She did. Huh?
You seem too happy about that.
She did.
Whoa!
Yeah. Did. She did.
That was funny.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Oh, also, I was going to tell you, I've reread... Did you ever read the Wrinkle in Time stuff? Like those movies?
No.
Because I...
But I did see the movie, and I will never read the books now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was the movie bad?
The movie is terrible.
Are we talking about the one from a couple years ago?
One with Oprah Winfrey, yeah.
Okay. They made a movie version of it a long time ago, too. Back in the 80s, I think, sometime. That might have been a made-for-TV movie. Well, I had read the first three. There's 5 books that are considered part of the quintet, or part of the Wrinkle in Time series. But the fourth and fifth one were written in the mid and late 80s, so I've never read them before. And it's, I don't think I've ever read these as an adult. Although I did read, was it Hope Larson did a comic adaptation of it several years ago?
Mm. Or Doc Noldart.
I think it was Hope Larson. Let me look that one up, because I didn't. I don't want to attribute this to somebody wrong, because Lord knows I've done that before. It makes me feel bad. Which I read that last year. So, yeah, okay, it was Hope Larson. But, like, I haven't actually read the prose books as an adult. So I decided to go ahead and reread them, and also read the fourth and fifth one that I hadn't read before. And I had completely forgotten how Christian these books were.
Oh, really?
I mean, they're Christian in a way... well, there are times when they're very overtly Christian, but they're Christian in the way that the Narnia books are Christian.
Oh, yeah.
With stand-ins for things, you know, like they tend to call God the presence or whatever, like the all, whatever kind of thing. They don't, most of the time, they'll just come out and say God. Like the Christian God or something, you know. But yeah, I guess probably because when I read them would have been pre-85. I was still a Catholic then. I was going to church regularly. and actually was still in Catholic school, for that matter. So I probably just didn't even pay attention to the fact that they were Christian, because I was just like, oh, sure, of course they are. You know, I do Christian stuff every day because it's in my life, kind of thing. And then I didn't really notice the Christianity in it. But it definitely, yeah, stands out. But they're still really good books. Because, I mean, they're your essential good versus evil kind of thing. And with slight morality overtones, and, like morality play kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still really good. I mean, I think they stand up really well. The fourth and fifth books are a little, I think they're weaker than the first three. And they're a little weird, but if you've never read them before and you like actually reading books, I'd recommend visiting those because they're interesting.
Why did you say it like that?
Why did
you say it like that? Like you made it sound like, oh, hey, you don't like reading books.
I was saying that to the general, whoever was listening, because some people
You were targeting me.
Some people just don't like reading books.
Did you mean me when you said that?
Do you like reading books?
No.
Well, then yes, I meant you.
Son of a bitch.
Mike, you don't like reading books.
I don't like you.
Yes, you do. Huh. Houghton Mifflin. Is that how you say that, Houghton Mifflin?
It's Houghton, but I don't know.
Well, whoever. H&M. Are putting out a graphic novel version of Animal Farm. George Orwell's Animal Farm.
I need to get in that book market.
In stores? Yeah, that does seem like the way to actually make some money. Those people make mad cash! Stuff like that. I probably didn't say that very well. Hey, Image Comics has a good week. A lot of books in stores. Oh, wait, somebody, there's just multiple things. Multiple covers. But still, they got stuff in stores this week. It's cool. How is that Bitterroot book?
I like the first issue. It's an interesting concept. Well, it's 1930s jazz hellboy. I mean, it's, you know, a group of people that hunt weird shit. It's good. I really like it. There's one character I don't care for. It's one of those things that has been done to death where it's like this really big, strong character, but he talks like over eloquently.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like with big unnecessary words.
The educated goon.
Yeah. And it's like you've seen that trope a million times before.
Yeah.
It just, for some reason, bugs me in that book. Because it's like everything else is so not that. It's like interesting on its own. And then there's this character that's kind of like, well, look at me. You've seen this before, but you haven't seen it in 1930s.
Yeah.
Or have you? I don't know. I don't care.
Have you? Yeah, I thought, because I remember early on reading the description of it, and I thought it sounded interesting, but I don't really get into comic shops very much or anything. And I don't tend to buy comics digitally. So I've never gotten around to checking it out.
It's good. I liked it. I haven't read any of the rest of them, though. But the first issue is good.
I just figured I'd wait for the trade.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Marvel's got a Cloak and Dagger omnibus hardcover out.
Really?
It's like $100. Or I guess it's... MSRP is $125, but I guess you can get it cheaper. But, I wonder if that's... I'm trying to... The description doesn't... It just says Early Adventures.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Here's what it collects. Wait. This doesn't make any sense. I mean... Am I wrong? Cloak and Dagger weren't around until, like, 84, right?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting confused by the way I forget that when they list series by when the first issue was. Because it says, collecting Peter Parker and the Spectacular Spider-Man, 1976, number 64. But that 1976 made me think it was I forgot that that just means that's when the series started. So it's, yeah, 64, 69 to 70, 81, 82, 94, 96 of the Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man. And then the Cloak and Dagger mini, the four-issue mini. And then a Marvel Team-Up annual, Marvel Fanfare, New Mutants run, what they were in it. And then I guess the Cloak and Dagger regular series from 85, 1 to 11. And then Doctor Strange and a graphic novel with them in Power Pack and Strange Tales from 87. So that's a lot of stuff. And I don't see a page count on it, but I always like Cloak and Dagger. I think that'd be an interesting collection to have, or a nice collection to have. That was one of those just weird mini-series I bought blind when I was a kid because I thought it looked cool.
Oh, yeah, Rick Leonardi's a shit.
Yeah, I remember, you know, yeah, I went in, you know, saw it on the rack, and I was like, hey, this is cool. And I mean, that's why I was buying shit like that, and that Gargoyle miniseries, and Long Shot. So I was having a lot of luck with miniseries back then. So, yeah, that was a good time period for miniseries. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw a new character that I, like, just dug as much as I did when I was a kid, kind of thing. Well, I guess stuff, I don't know. Once you get to a certain point, I guess, like, nothing seems as impressive anymore. Let's see, Oni Press, Shadow Rhodes number 10, I lettered. That's a Colin Bunn, Brian Hurt, like, Six Gun spinoff. And that's, I think it's Bunn and Hurt are writing it, and he sees Zamudio and Carlos Zamudio, the artists. I might be getting that wrong, because, hey, what do I know? And I think I lettered this, like, 6 months ago or something, but it's one of those things that got delayed because of the, everything closing up and the pandemic and things.
Pandemic.
Shock and all.
Aww.
Okay, that's it in the comic list for things interesting and things related to us. So, I guess that's it for this week. I don't know. Hopefully the recording went okay. Can't really tell because I don't hear it messing up until I go back to listen to it. But, closing thoughts, Mike?
No, thanks to everybody that said nice things.
Yeah.
I'm getting over it. I'm doing okay. I hope everybody's doing all right. I hope you're doing all right. Crying.
Oh, me personally?
Yeah.
Getting by. And I want everyone listening to, prepare your babies.
Prepare your babies for judgment! Prepare them for judgment!
We will be the sole arbiters of whether your baby is good enough.
Some of them won't make it past the judgment.
Babies.
I don't know why I had to add that to it.
That's pretty weird, but I do have that picture of you trying to eat Emmons' baby.
He was tasty. That was the first baby. That's not the one I have now. That was the trial baby. I ate him because I judged him to not be good enough.
Do it over. Again.
That kid's weird now.
Yeah. God, what, 4 or 5 years old now?
Yeah. He's cool, but he's weird.
Kids are weird anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right. Everybody have a good week. You can reach us at Crankcast.com, Crankcast@gmail.com, Mike's website is IHateMike.com. You can still read BattlePug, posted on BattlePug.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's all still there. We are finishing up Grumble. The last two issues will be in stores soon.
Yep.
Well, four should be in soon, anyway.
Yep.
Also, I don't know. Forgot what else was on CadenceComicArt.com, I guess, for art and stuff. And, yep. That's about it, I guess. See you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye.